single passage of Scripture we're sharing tonight will also be the basis for our message. We continue our midweek services with the theme of the Olympics and the text that I'll read to you from St. Paul from 1 Corinthians 9 is a text he writes comparing the Christian life to the running of a marathon in the Olympics of his day. From 1 Corinthians 9, 23 to 27. St. Paul writes, I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man shadow boxing and beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Dear friends in Christ, many of you who are around here know that I love to run long distances. I run 5 to 6 days every week. I run for the joy of it, believe it or not. I run for the time that it gives me away from the phone and other demands, and I do it also for purposes of my own health. Now, years ago, when I was running competitively, and I was training very hard, I won't even tell you the kind of distances I used to run, and the hills I used to charge up, and the track workouts I used to sweat through. Now I just run for the fun and the mental and physical and, yes, even spiritual benefits that running brings. But it's important to exercise and take care of the bodies that God gives us. However, it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy not to exercise and not to take care of our bodies. But, you know, at least our world calls to our attention the need for our physical improvement. We're reminded day in and day out to keep in shape by TV commercials, by our own doctors, I just saw mine today, and by even ads in the newspaper. We're reminded to keep in physical shape by voices all around us, but who is bringing to your attention your need to keep in spiritual shape? We're fooling ourselves if we think that spiritual fitness is not every bit as important as physical fitness. Our body and our soul are both important. Both our bodies and our souls are gifts from God, redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, and our bodies and souls are precious to Him. Both should be precious to us too, but when we examine our lives, we commonly find problems with the way we approach this athletic event St. Paul calls the race of our Christian life. We may think that our life is our own and we are the only one who has any say in the way we run the race. But really, our life is not our own. You and I have been bought with a price. Follow my finger and see the price paid for your body and soul. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul writes, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, Paul writes. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, part of the reason we want to view our life as our own is this. We want to make our own decisions. We don't want to follow in anybody else's footsteps or follow in anybody else's boundaries that they set up, even if they're God's footsteps and God's boundaries. We want to try everything our own way, and we discover that often our own way leads to trouble and destruction. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, it says, "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death." So St. Paul, when he talks about self-discipline and Christian training, is in no way encouraging us to forge our own trail, but he's encouraging us to follow God's footsteps and keep inside God's boundaries on the race of life so that we may end up where God wants us to end up. Now listen again to this text. As St. Paul compares the race of the Christian life with the marathon race in the original Olympic Games in his time, St. Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like a man shadow boxing or beating the air. No, I beat my body, make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself may not be disqualified." Can you think of a sadder thing in life? Can you think of a more tragic thing in life than being disqualified? Ask the Dutch skater today. Disqualified from the gold because of error. Paul tells the Corinthian church that they're to run the race of life with their eyes focused on the goal of Christ and His cross. It's a purposeful life, no matter how long or short it is. A Peace Corps commercial from some time ago put it this way: if you're not doing something with your life, it doesn't matter how long or short it is. So St. Paul here talks about focusing on the finish line. It's so important to him, Paul gets so worked up, as sometimes preachers do, that he begins to mix his metaphors from running to boxing. And he encourages us to stop shadow boxing and playing games, but to enter into the real fight against the real opponents in our lives, that unholy trinity called sin and death and the devil. To take up the fight against all the misery and misdirection this unholy trio stirs up in our lives. Think about it this way. Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection frees you from sin, frees you from eternal death, frees you from the power of the devil. But how do you choose now to use that freedom? The choices narrow very quickly when we see the real needs of others. The Holy Spirit breaks our selfish gaze only in on ourselves, me, myself, and I, and causes us to look outward with compassion on our neighbor who's dying, our friend who's lost his job, our spouse who's so tired, our neighborhood children who are suffering because of the bad choices their parents have made. The Christian race is toward heaven. Make no mistake about it. But we are not running this race alone. Listen carefully to this next sentence. The race of our lives is running through other people's lives. That's how God planned it. The race of our life goes right through the lives of other people. Other people's needs and hurts are not to be a distraction to your race. They are not an obstacle to be avoided. The hurts and needs of others constitute, they make up the race course that God has placed you on. And if we're to run this race of life with honor, then we need to increase our training. We need to run with purpose, with consistency, with strength, with endurance, because we're not running this race course just for ourselves. God has a purpose in us running this race, and this purpose involves the lives of others. The only way we can run is by keeping our hearts and our souls focused on the one who ran before us, the one who runs with us, the one who carries us in our run when we stumble and fall, Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to Hebrews 12, 2-3. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorned its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you may not grow weary, so that you may not lose heart. When Jesus entered into our world, you know the passage, for God so loved the world. When Jesus entered our world, he knew it would be no 100-meter dash. He knew it would be a marathon that would call for his all. When he ran the race from the manger to the cross, he didn't run for himself. He ran it for you. He ran it for me. He went the distance. He didn't give up or half-heartedly walk the race. He ran. He endured the agony. He never wavered. And as he was running the race, do you know what he was thinking about? When Jesus ran the race to the cross, when he ran the race that allowed sinful men to drive spikes through his hands and his feet for the sins of the world, when he ran that race, do you know what he was thinking about? He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. He ran the race. He won the prize and he crossed the finish line into heaven and even now sits at the right hand of the Father. And all of this he has done for you. And as he waits at that finish line for you, you can hear him say, "Don't give up. Keep running. Fix your eyes. I will carry you so you can cross that finish line forever." Now you and I follow in his steps. And we run the race he set out for us. And we run not just for ourselves. We run for others. And my friends, if just one more person joins this race and crosses heaven's finish line because of you, all your training and all your running will have been worth it. My sainted godfather, Carl Kappen, used to have a famous saying. This man, who is in many respects responsible for me entering the holy ministry, used to say this: when you get to heaven, the best thing about heaven won't be the glorious angels. The best thing about heaven won't be the majesty and the glory of eternal life and all the wonders of creation there. He said the best thing about heaven will be this: when one person takes you by the hand and brings you to the very throne of our Lord Jesus Christ and says, Lord Jesus, it's because of Melanie that I'm in heaven today. It's because Mike took the time to invite me to join the race that I'm with you forever. It's because Joan loved me and had patience with me and brought me to the foot of the throne of the cross of Jesus that I'm here forever. So my friends, keep running. Keep training. Come here to God's training camp, that He might get you into the kind of spiritual shape it takes to run the race, to win the prize, and to take as many others with you as you can on the run for Jesus' sake. Now, if any of you want to go running tomorrow morning, every morning at 7:30, you meet me in my office. And we'll go running. If not, you run the race the Lord has set out for you and invite others to come with you for Jesus' sake, for the sake of a dying world. Amen.